I have a few thoughts in my head. The first one that comes to mind is this openness and acceptance of like online teaching. Like the pandemic really accelerated that. Of course, there were many, many successful teachers doing this online, like way before anyway. So it's been done, but it's maybe like, maybe the teachers needed it more than, you know, people outside, maybe more than our students, but like teachers started accepting that, you know, being able to teach online was a great way not only to get more students, make it more convenient for them, but be able to reach students that they could not reach before. Mm. And I've worked with some teachers that have like really great missions with that. And it's like being able to reach students that just don't have a teacher nearby.
Hey there, it's Tim, and I'm so excited to let you know that if you're teaching guitar or want to break into offering guitar lessons as part of your business, then you're going to want to check out our brand new show. It launched this month. It's called the Top Music Guitar Podcast, hosted by Michael Gumley. It airs Friday on all podcast platforms, including Spotify, each week. You'll get insider advice on how the best guitar studios get built and how to teach guitar lessons that students keep coming back for. Don't miss out. Go and check it out. It's free and downloadable right now. Hello, amazing teachers. It's Tim here again for another episode of the Topcast, and I'm delighted that you're going to be joining us for today's episode. If you are a social media user, but a little bit unsure about how social media can fit into your studio marketing plan, and particularly how Facebook groups might be something that you can use both to invite new students and encourage new signups, but also to nurture and cherish the students and the community that you've already built, then today is going to be your episode. But before we get into that, I did want to remind you about a couple of things that are happening in Top Music this week and next week. Firstly, we've got a new volume of Top Music Sheets coming out next week. It's an incredible collection from Paul and Gillian from Piano Teaching Success. Many of you will know Paul Myatt and Gillian Erskine because they've created resources galore for us inside our Top Music Pro membership and share great courses and free training online all over the web. And they've created a mix of classical arrangements and funky original tunes that kids are totally going to love. We'll also be sharing some backing tracks to really engage them. So if you'd like to access our Top Music Sheets collections, then you can join for as little as $10 a month on our Lite plan over at topmusicpro.com. That gets you full access to our back catalog of webinars. There's over 60 of those. I can't believe I've done so many. You get access to our members app and our forums to ask any questions. And of course, each month you get a free studio licensed collection of incredible sheet music that everyone is raving about. And it's Paul and Gillian's turn starting from the 1st. That's on Sunday, I think it is. And for those of you who aren't members yet, but are interested in spicing up the start or middle or even end of some of your students' lessons, then I want you to check out my free guide if you haven't already. It's called 27 Easy Chord Progressions to Inspire Creativity. And you can grab it for free and use it at any time during your lessons. If you want to get students off the music and playing and exploring creatively using some seriously funky and cool sounding progressions, it's a great thing to do when students need to just break up their routine or do something different, or if they come to the lesson without their books, or if they're just not in the right mood for a more serious focused look at some of their reading material, then you can grab this free guide and just explore some of these progressions. You're going to have great fun with it. All students tend to really love it. And you can download it over at topmusic.co/easy today. All right, let's get on with the show. My guest today, Ben Nguyen, is an entrepreneur from California who attended San Diego State University and started his first piano lesson business at the age of 18. His musical background specializes in piano and percussion, and he enjoys performing along with teaching. Ben is a musician and consultant who helps music studios profit wildly through increasing the number of students and income. He strives to impact the lives of students worldwide through sharing the experience of music. With the ongoing budget cuts of music programs in schools, the growth of music schools and studios is vital to the prosperity of music education. Ben, you've got a great mission. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, Ben Nguyen. Great to have you here.
Thank you, Sam. I'm super glad to be here.
Well, look, I've been following your rise in the music teaching world on Facebook for the last couple of years. I think it's a couple of years anyway. So congratulations on
thank you.
Niche you've built for yourself and all the great work you're already doing to help teachers. And no doubt other teachers listening, even if they don't see your face or know your name, they might actually recognize your voice, because I reckon you're the calmest, most controlled, relaxed kind of guy I've ever met. You're basically the opposite of Gary V, who, for those of you who don't know, is an internet marketer, very famous, who just swears and goes at 1,000 miles an hour. And yeah, anyway, Ben, you're none of that, which I think is great. So I wanted to get you on the show to share some of what you've learned about all the work you're doing in social media and marketing and how that can help music teachers in their studios, which sounds pretty good.
Yeah, sounds good.
Fantastic. Well, I reckon we should get a little bit of background for those of our listeners who don't know you. A little bit of your music background, but also how you got into teaching too would be great.
Yeah, of course, of course. So for me, it might be a little surprising, but as of filming this, I just turned 23, and last year I graduated with my bachelor's in music at music education at San Diego State University. Down here, I'm living here, been living here in San Diego
I love San Diego.
Yeah, for all of my life. And that was also like a really weird time with the whole pandemic going on. Like 1.5 years was completely online. I had to do my practicum pedagogy classes online as well. My senior year, I did a whole like student teaching at an elementary school, at a few elementary school like band programs, teaching recorder, which was pretty
I've done music teaching rounds, as we call them here, when you're a trainee teacher, and they're hard enough when you're in person to try and do it online.
It was a really great experience. And during that whole time, like I think probably my freshman year is when I started just teaching piano, and like piano was my main instrument, but I came into San Diego State studying percussion. So I was like studying classical percussion. Like I've been learning piano for a long time. I also, every week I play piano for my church as well. And I started just building up my own studio on the side while I was teaching and being a full-time music student. And it got to a point where like my junior or senior year, I was probably spending around like 20, 25 hours teaching along with being able, like going to rehearsals, having my practice time as well, like for like juries and stuff like that. And then also I have other classes outside of music. And then also I need to have a social life as well. So it got pretty like overwhelming. And that's really where the burnout started to happen, where I was like, man, I wish I could take on more students, but I like can't because of the circumstances in my life right now. And I don't want to get to a point where I'm like completely burnt out, and I don't want to do this. I don't want to lose the love for it anymore. But that was all the way up until my senior year. And then I graduated, and now I'm not only just teaching, but running this business as well, my coaching business.
Cool to learn a bit more about your journey. When you say senior year, that's university. The last year of university, is it? Because we don't use those terms over here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, because I know freshman and sophomore is a high school levels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And then when you go to university, you become a what? What do you call that when you first enter university?
I don't know. I call it like, I assume that, I have to stop assuming that everyone is on this four-year track for university, because there's lots of people who spend, who go to college like, while they're having their family and stuff like that, it may take them a little longer, and that's okay. But I just call it like freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. And if you go longer, sometimes people call it like super senior.
Geez, that sounds really old. Tell you what, you make me feel old sometimes, I got to say. you were studying, and you were studying percussion, which is pretty cool. I did percussion when I was at school as well. I studied it and played in the orchestra as the pianist. And I loved it. And I encourage all teachers of piano students to encourage your students to join orchestras and bands at school, because they will make fantastic percussionists who can play all of the keyboard percussion, which is like 5 or 6 or 7 instruments. And they tend to have decent rhythm. So as an aside, definitely encourage your students to do that. And it sounds like you got right into percussion to do it. Study it at university level is amazing. But then you found that it all got too much. Thankfully, now you have finished your degree and you're working full time now helping other music teachers and teaching, still doing some teaching on the side. So are you teaching percussion or piano now?
Piano.
Yep.
Okay. I wish I could teach percussion. I think like that's definitely a need just in the world. I feel like, or even probably in just in my area down here in San Diego, there is little help for percussion. I feel like that's definitely an area of need just because, you know, a lot of percussionists don't have the equipment needed. It's kind of difficult.
Yeah, I get it. We would mostly have percussion lessons in schools. You could find a drum kit teacher, but mm-hmm. yes, someone that actually has timpani and tubular bells in their house. that's an expensive setup. All right, so I want to talk about how you actually got into this current job of yours of helping music teachers with their marketing. How did you even know this was an area that music teachers needed help with?
Yeah, this was interesting too, because while in my journey of like going through my music degree as well, like I like you mentioned before, I was also on this track of like entrepreneurship as well. And in my university, there's this program, like entrepreneurship program that I joined, and they connected all of the members in there with like mentors. And my mentor, he wasn't even like anyone in the music space. He's in the real estate space, which I really love because I got a different perspective from that. And he really taught me he helped me come up with the ideas of like, how can I even, you know, how can I be able to combine like my passion for music and also entrepreneurship as well. And he was like a real estate coach. So he was like, hey, like, why don't you like coach music teachers and see if you can help them as well. I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And it was a lot of like figuring out. It was a lot of kind of like what a lot of us teachers do when we're first teaching. It's like figuring it out as you kind of go.
Throw everything against the wall and see what sticks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But being able to continue to like, I got mentorship from him and he was able to teach me how he acquires clients. I was able to use that not just for my studio, but for other studio teachers as well. And it's like, it was a really long journey. So it was like, for me, it was trying to help at first, if my business model was like trying to help college students be able to get more private students so that they can like make money on the side, pay for college. That was really like my story, right? Like
yeah.
I had to be able to figure out how to get students on my own so I could pay for my college. And I wanted to help college students do that. And then I figured out that college students don't really have
any money. Income.
Yeah. It was like this catch 22, where it's like I'm trying to help you like be able to support yourself for college, but like they don't have that much to invest in. Also not like less important or more important than that, they didn't have a lot of the urgency or the drive to do that. And that's totally okay. And it's one of those marketing lessons where like I can't create that goal for them. I just have to find what people want and be able to help them get there. So over time, like I was able to help, you know, I just figured out like teachers just needed more help on like just that marketing side. I feel like there was a disconnect between teachers wanting more students versus like actually knowing how to have control over that. Because if we wanted to impact more students, I feel like a lot of teachers, it's like a kind of like a waiting game. And I don't want teachers to have to wait to teach more students or be able to impact more students. Like, I think this will be a reoccurring theme throughout like us talking here, but like my whole drive for actually teaching music in the first place is like, how do I be able to offer this opportunity in music education to like everyone in the world? You know, I want to be able to extend that vision to like other teachers as well, so that they can give that opportunity as well in their communities. So that's where it kind of stemmed from.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, it's very, very much aligned with the mission we have at Top Music as well, to nice. Really support the teachers of the world, to be amazing teachers, to have fun and be successful in their business, because that's going to hopefully mean that more kids around the world learn music and keep playing music and the cycle continues. So it's great to have you as part of that that process. What do you think have been some of the biggest shifts that music teachers have had to make in just looking at marketing? I mean, we know pandemic has affected lots of things in online lessons, but what about the marketing side of things just in the last few years?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I have a few thoughts in my head. The first one that comes to mind is this openness and acceptance of like online teaching. like the pandemic really accelerated that. Of course, there were many, many successful teachers doing this online, like way before anyway. So it's been done, but it's maybe like, maybe the teachers needed it more than, you know, people outside, maybe more than our students, but like teachers started accepting that, you know, being able to teach online was a great way, not only to get more students, make it more convenient for them, but be able to reach students that they could not reach before. Mm. And I've worked with some teachers that have like really great missions with that. And it's like being able to reach students that just don't have a teacher nearby. And it's like, for example, like one of my clients is a horn teacher. And of course, horn teachers are kind of scarce. Like there's not many out there at all specializing in horn. So just imagine you live in like the countryside and there's like, you know, maybe your next neighbor is like 10 plus miles away. Like how are you supposed to get horn lessons if you want to be, you know, get better? Like online is a great way. And that's been a big shift so far. And in terms of like marketing as well, I think the speed of communication has definitely been a big shift in the past 5 years. I've only been in this space for like around like 2-3 years so far, but I could imagine before then, especially with the teachers I've talked to, is a lot of, you know, word of mouth. And is great. Word of mouth is really great. But with the speed of communication where you can reach someone instantly online, it makes like, you know, it can make your growth a lot faster and also a lot easier as well. You won't have to rely on like old methods anymore, like waiting for someone to reach you by phone. Mm. So it's like the speed of communication has definitely been a big shift in marketing, and you being able to grow faster, like get yourself out there faster, is a big trend as well now. Like you don't have to be spending years and years trying to talk and network now. But if you feel like you need to start, like the right time is now, because you can get out there, get really quick, like, you know, get people knowing who you are really quickly. Kind of like just how I did, but for anyone as well. I think it's been a huge shift in marketing.
Well, it's a great segue, because I was going to talk to you about how you've really branded yourself incredibly well as the social media music teacher. I mean, that is the name of your Facebook group, your .com. If I think of, if someone asks me, who's the go-to person at the moment who knows about social media marketing for music teachers, I'm thinking Ben already. Now, that's only happened in the last year or so. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering, is that pigeonholing you? Is social media the only, like, is that the best way at the moment, I guess, is my question, for music teachers to get their, get themselves known to music students without huge events?
That's an interesting point you put there. In a sense, like I do kind of agree with you, where it's like low key, like I might be pigeonholing myself, because
I love this low key. My children who watch American YouTubers, they start to say low key. I'm like, what is this low key? Anyway, sorry, go on.
But yeah, like again, low key, like I am kind of pigeonholing myself, because that's not everything that like I teach to my clients. But for one, like, just being with the trends and staying what's relevant. I'm always going to be updating and trying to find the best way, the fastest way to be able to help people get more students. Social media is just like where I like to be at. That's where I feel like, this is my belief, I feel like that's the fastest and easiest place to go to when you want to be able to find more students. And even more specifically than that, like most of the things I teach my teachers, like mainly applies to Facebook, like especially like the strategies that I do with Facebook groups and all of that. Like it's specific to Facebook, but I'm not going to call myself like the Facebook guy or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But everything that I really teach and apply, I try to make sure it's not like gimmicky or like, it's like, oh, this is like the one strategy for everything. But it's what's more important here, and what we can talk about soon, is like how important it is to understand like the why behind everything. Like, why does this work? Like understanding the whys behind marketing. Like, why are we creating content around this and not that? Why is it more important to write content around your beliefs, you know, rather than trying to show off your skills
and diplomas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, yeah, I would say like most of the things that I teach definitely apply to like all social media, but mainly focused on like on Facebook, because I like to teach what I preach.
Yeah, and what you know, right?
What I know, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point that you brought up in regard to what teachers are actually selling. And it comes back to those famous quotes about, you know, the railways when they first came out, that they weren't in the transportation business, they were in the connecting people business. Airlines that are in the business of getting families together, they're not about transport. You know, that same approach, I think, applies to music teachers. And listening to some of the work that you do with teachers, I've heard you talk about this idea of, you know, on the website, what you're not selling that you do 30-minute lessons and you have a bachelor's degree. You're selling this whatever it is that you want to give your students, that chance to play in front of their grandparents or to have a family be able to sit around and sing a song together. Or that sounds a bit corny, but what is the transformation that we're trying to produce? That's what we're trying to sell, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's not even like I kind of have these thoughts in my head as well, but it's like what I'm offering here is not even like, you know, learning how to use social media, but it's really like communications. It really boils down to communication skills, like in marketing and in sales. It's like how well can you communicate to the parents? How well can you communicate to the students and make sure that they understand what you offer as well? It's like that's really the fundamental of it all. It's like, how do you communicate to people, convey your message in the right way so that people listen to you?
Yeah. Marketing is communication. That's the primary goal. Now, I know some teachers are a little bit hesitant with the social media because they see it's a rabbit hole. They think, if I get engaged and do stuff on Facebook, that means I've got to sit on my phone for hours a day doom scrolling. Is that a missed opportunity for teachers? And what would you say?
Yeah, it's, you know, it is a missed opportunity, but two, like all of those feelings are definitely valid and all those thoughts are definitely valid. Like it is true. Like you can get lost on Facebook. You can get lost on social media with literally like every single tool that we have out there. And I think what's more important here is that the social media is just a tool that's just what the trend is right now, right? In the future, it's definitely going to be like, soon we're getting students in the metaverse, right? Like we hear all those stuff coming up. Like that may be the trend in the future. But what's more important here is like, one, like it's definitely valid that you may think that social media is a waste of time, because it can be, right? But really with anything else, like, you know, building a website could be a waste of time, right? Being able to network and go to different schools could be a waste of time. But if we don't know how to use those tools effectively, then it doesn't matter what the tool is. It's like, we need to know how to use it. So being able to know how to use social media effectively so that we save a lot of time and energy is going to be real important to making sure that it becomes a tool and not a trap for us teachers.
I want to dig in a little bit more about how that actually looks in practice, Ben. But one other thing that I've just thought of too is that the other thing we can learn from you, I think, is that you've built your following and presence, and your Facebook group is a decent size too, but it's just on Facebook. You may have a YouTube channel and Instagram, but I haven't seen it. I think another thing about social media that overwhelms a lot of teachers is that there are so many platforms and I have to try and be everywhere. And I try and be everywhere in my business as well. And it is super hard, even when you have people trying to help you do it. You've just focused, I think, on Facebook. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you've been able to get quite a lot of traction from that. So I think we can learn potentially that we don't have to be everywhere. You need to find the one place that your parents and their students, or your adult students, or your retiree students, or whatever the market is that you're trying to capture, you need to be where they are.
Yeah.
And for a lot of those people, that is Facebook right now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. The biggest lesson that my mentor has probably shared with me is that simplicity really scales. Like if you're really wanting to scale, it's all about making sure your systems are simple, because that's what's going to help you grow like a lot easier as well. For me, I'd love to have like a YouTube channel, Instagram in the future. I did dabble into Instagram a little bit, but like I stopped that because I just wanted to make things really simple. And if I was like anything near your size, Tim, like I would definitely be everywhere because you're taking advantage of it really well. But like someone like me, someone who's a little smaller, but then also teachers too, that are on different sizes, right? You would just want to make sure that whatever you're doing is just like, it doesn't suck up all of your time and energy. And as you're growing, making sure that you can allocate that time and energy. If you have the time and energy to go all out on like YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, and maybe TikTok too, like go ahead and do it, right? Because what we're doing, everything that we do here is just making sure that we save time and energy, the two things that we really can't get back in our lives.
Now, I'm going to quote you back your LinkedIn profile. It says, I help music teachers get new students consistently and on demand using just their laptops. Now, this sounds super easy, Ben. I wish it was. But you do have a bit of a process and a system to help music teachers. And perhaps we can follow up on what we said before about how you can use these social platforms without major time-wasting and thing. Can you give us some of your process?
Yeah, of course. It's I love how you did your research. That like the process may be a lot simpler than it seems, but the goal here in mind is just being able to, how do you use social media book calls? And for a lot of, you know, us teachers, like we got to have a way to sign up students, right? Whether it is on like a phone call, a Zoom call, whether we do a trial lesson. So the end goal is being able to have more opportunities to do that. And a big problem that I see with most music teachers is that they think like social media is a way for them to, like social media is a channel for them to like, you know, sell their lessons and things like that. Like, but understanding that's not where we sell the lesson. We sell the lessons like in that face-to-face interaction. Like social media is just that bridge to helping get there a lot quicker. So it's like a three-step process. It's finding the audience, it's being able to create the content, and then also being able to actually book in those calls with your prospects as well, having an active way to do that. And the first two is pretty, I would say the first two is something that a lot of teachers already do. Like they know how to find their audience and create the content around that's kind of like expected. But I think the third one is often underrated and it's something that a lot of teachers need to do more often. It's like doing the actual, being active in their, and reaching out and being able to help, you know, your potential students or potential parents. Oftentimes I hear teachers wondering like, why aren't they getting consistent students just by posting content and waiting for people to come to them? When if we really want consistent growth in our studios, we need to be able to take that consistent action as well. And being able to have a process that where you can go out and reach out to your leads and be able to talk to them, be able to figure out what their problems are, be able to figure out their goals and actually get them onto on a call with you. Like that's what we should be using social media for. So again, it's a three-step process. It's like finding your audience. It's creating, putting the content out in front of the audience, and then also having a way to actually message them, create conversations with them so that you can be able to book trial lessons. You can be able to book calls. You can be able to, you know, talk to them face to face.
Yeah. And I've seen you do this in your own Facebook group. And I'd encourage anyone to sign up for Ben's Facebook group, not only to learn these strategies, but just to see how he manages it and the interactions that he has. And you do that very well. You have live videos and you always respond to comments. And I've also noticed that you put out ideas or giveaways and you ask people to comment with a word or something like that, that you can then go back to them and just get that back and forth happening. So you do preach, practice what you preach.
Practice what you preach.
Yeah. Let's talk about Facebook groups for a second, because I have heard a teacher's concerned about the fact that they can't seem to get much traction from a Facebook group of parents or potential parents or students. Do you think groups what you recommend, or is it more posting on a page?
Yeah, I did. Today I did a live stream all around that, what I call like our group trust method. And it's about using Facebook groups to be able to have that as your kind of like your your student generating machine almost, where you can have this one place where one centralized hub where you can be able to generate your leads, be able to post content in there, but then be able to message them as well and be able to create those conversations. So for Facebook groups, I think it's a great way because it makes things really simple. Like you don't have to focus on like posting in 5 to 10 different groups around your area or out there. Like it becomes a little complicated there. You got to keep track of where you're posting. But two, Facebook groups is actually like what's kind of trending right now. I'm not always the one to like hop on trends and like be sort of like the promote the shiny object syndrome. Like I'm not one to do that. But if you notice, like Facebook's adding more features for groups and they're actually being able to focus on that community aspect. And I think if you're a local teacher, this is something that I've helped out with, like with some of my like multi-teacher studios. Like the group is a great way to create like community in your community around your music school, because it's almost like look at how many people join your Facebook group for your local community. Like imagine if that amount of people were just in your local community for like your music school too. They can see what your school is doing, what it's all about, but also you can be able to like reach out to them as well. And if you don't mind me going through, like in the live stream, I taught these three systems that you need to have in your studio in order to start seeing consistent growth. And those three systems is one, being able to have a way to generate leads consistently. Two is being able to actually build trust with your leads now, and then like have a place to, you know, create content, whether that is like an email list or whether that is on a social media page, right? You're gonna need to build trust with them with your content. And then three, it's being able to actually have a way to create conversations with your leads and book calls with them. So like you can, like every single system that we have or every single way to get students, like everything has that. If you build an email list, you can have a way to generate leads for the email list. You can have content for the email list as well. And you can also be able to contact your leads with like email lists as well. You can do that with an Instagram page. But the reason why I teach Facebook groups is because that's what I believe is the easiest and like the fastest way to be able to accomplish those three systems.
And with freest. The goal of,
yeah, and the, free, the yeah. freest as well. And the simplest as well. Again, my kind of mantra here is that like, even though like I'm promoting like, you know, grow your studio on social media and all, like the whole premise of this is like get off of social media as soon as possible, right? Get your prospects, get your students off of social media as fast as possible so that they can start talking to you. And
That's good. I was actually, I was thinking as you were talking then, our two children learn an instrument, but it's at a school. Mm-hmm. I was thinking if they had private lessons and their teacher had a group and they would share things occasionally about some highlights from various what the students are doing or about the events coming up or recital and things like that, I'd be more than happy to join that group. And I'm wondering whether you've seen teachers use a Facebook group that is their community of their current students, but can also be a place where it's like, oh, well, if you're interested, come and have a look in our Facebook group because you'll meet some of the other parents and see what the students are doing.
Exactly. That's
and you
that's
kill two more birds with one stone.
That's more of the premise that I was going for. Like not really like a Facebook group where just your students are at or your parents are at, if the parents are more appropriate to be on Facebook, but it should be a place, like it should be your marketing tool to getting the community seeing what you're doing, right? Like your current students will be on there. They can hype you up and everything, but you should have your current families and your current students, like invite other people that they know to hop on board as well. And that's where you're really going to speed up that word of mouth, right? Rather than having people like always having to rely on your current students to get people to reach out to you and like book a call with you, like just get them, just really simple, invite them into your Facebook group. And then you can do the work to reach out to them, have more control over the process as well, and be able to book a call with them if they're interested. But I definitely agree with you right there. That's definitely the mindset there. It's like, get people in the community in there so that they see what you're doing.
Yeah, because if I was in that group and I was loving the teacher's lessons and my children were enjoying it and I could post a video of, oh, so-and-so had the best lesson today, have a look at what he's doing on the kit. And then if someone else from the group who doesn't currently learn with my child's teacher says, oh, just wondering, is this a cool teacher? Or, you know, what do you guys think? I would be praising, and so I'm sure other people would jump in. So it could be a really simple way to build community at the same time as market to new people.
Community, yeah. And I think like the word of the day here is trust. And with every single platform that we do use, like if it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's on like TikTok, even if it's an email list, like the reason why we have those is to build the trust with the people that just don't know us yet. And the community aspect, it ramps up that. The reason why I like to use Facebook groups again, because it ramps up that trust super, super quickly. When people join your Facebook community, they're jumping into your world. They're jumping into your ecosystem. So it's almost like walking into your music school. They see you, the face of it, and they automatically assume that you are in charge, right? So they're going to listen to you. They're going to hear you out rather than you like walking out in the public and just like, you know, it's, I don't know. That's what it feels like when you're going to like another Facebook group, like, and you start posting content. It's like you're walking out in the street and like speaking to a megaphone. these are like people coming into your school online and seeing what you're doing there.
So I'm just keeping an eye on the time. We've got a few more questions to go. You've mentioned email list building a couple of times now. You also said, you know, use social media to bring people together, build community, and then get them off that to convert them, to get the trial lesson happening or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that can be difficult. And I wonder how you use emails. So for those who are listening who are like, what's an email list building? What does that mean? Really all that means is that as a teacher, it's great for you to have the email list of prospects and have a whole and build as many of those prospects on an email list as you can, because you can then reach out to those people, email them and say, hey, so-and-so showed interest, let's get them in for a lesson or whatever it is. You have the ability to communicate with them directly without having Facebook's involvement. So two questions. Is email list building something that you work with teachers on? And if so, how do you get emails? How do the teachers get these emails?
Yeah. List building is definitely something that's important, right? I would say in the beginning, like it might not be the most important thing, because like, unless that's going to be your main strategy on like being able to generate leads and being able to create content there, then I like my main thing is I want you to focus on one thing. So choose your one thing, focus on that. If it's going to be the email list, like being able to grow that with, I think you mentioned like a lead magnet or something like that. That's going to be very valuable. I could talk about like what is valuable in terms of a lead magnet in a little bit, but for my teachers.
For teachers listening, lead magnet, that's something online that you give away in return for an email address. And if you've, most of you have been on my site at some stage, I have hundreds and hundreds of lead magnets that we give away in return for an email so that I can then follow you up and tell you more about the kinds of ways I can support you. So it's exactly the same process Ben's talking about for music teachers.
Yeah. It's for my clients specifically, here's a little hack that you can be able to use if you have a Facebook group as well. And it's simply like in Facebook, like when you join our group, you have to answer some questions to get in. You can use the membership questions to be able to ask for their email. So your group already is like an entire lead magnet in itself. And you can be able to get people's email lists, and they can, you know, they can sign up for your email list when they join the group. So you're almost killing two birds with one stone there, where you get a new Facebook group member plus an email when they join in as well. That's like the main way how I show teachers how to like grow their email list along with their Facebook group. It's by using like the membership questions, asking for their email so that, you know, parents or students can stay up to date with, you know, whatever's happening in the studio as well. In terms of like lead magnet, right? And what's valuable, This is a very open question. I would say the best like direction that you should definitely head towards is always thinking about what's valuable to your ideal student. It's obviously what's thinking
or
about
their
what's
parents,
valuable.
Right?
Yeah, or the parents, of course. Yeah. But that stems the question of what is value? What is true value? And true value is not like what true value is. It's saving. How do you save those parents or those students time and energy? So think about all the things that take them a long time to do. Think about all the things that take them a lot of energy or that they stress over. You can create something that saves them that time and energy really, really quickly. It doesn't have to be anything big, but an example is just like maybe you create like a video talking about the five biggest mistakes that you can fix that'll save you hours in the practice room or something like that. You can create a video with that. You can create a really quick PDF of that. But again, like what Tim said, it's really an exchange of value where, hey, I'm going to give you some value here. You know, it's going to cost you $0. All I just need is your email address so I can send it over to you. So it's really thinking about like what is actually valuable for your prospects or your parents or your students. Thinking about how can you save them a lot of time and energy doing that.
Yep.
If you don't know, you can simply just ask them. That's what I do a lot in my Facebook group. It's like, hey, if I created this resource, would you find that valuable? And then you will attack.
Yes, I have
like,
seen you do that again. Engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben, for all of those tips. Now we've covered a heap of ground. So I'm wondering, can we sum it up with your top three tips? Or because I know you also said just do one thing, choose one channel, do one thing. Don't try and do it all. And I say this to my teachers all the time as well. Just pick one thing to do from this episode. But maybe if we gave everyone three top tips and they can choose one of those things that they can try and implement after today, what would you say?
Oh, that's a good one. Number one, piggybacking on what you said, I think that's very, very powerful. And it's not just, you know, when you do choose one channel on what to, you know, what to do to generate those students, it's understanding, like really go all into it and learn how do I use it properly, right? It's like, it's literally like, you can't just be learning three different instruments at the same time. You got to be choosing one and go all into it on how to master that. So I would say like, if you're going to choose an email list, go ahead and master how do you generate those three systems again. How do you generate the leads into your email list? How are you going to create a like a system for actually creating content consistently for the email list? And then also, how often are you going to reach out to your email list and ask them, hey, are you still looking for music lessons, right? Whether you do it on an email list or a Facebook group, it's all the same thing. So when you choose, really understand like, how are you going to take control over that process and understand like how to use it properly? How to use the tool properly is way more important than the type of tool that you choose. That's something I always preach. Number two is a big one that that I always preach for like really anything, and it's taking action. Like I think that's something that, like a huge belief that I have, and it's that if you want consistent growth, you got to be taking consistent action. So the things that I teach, like if we like pull all the curtains aside, it's nothing like revolutionary, right? But the reason why like my teachers get results is because they have the mindset, they have the grit to like actually take action every single day and be consistent with it. Because if we want consistent outputs, we gotta be having consistent inputs as well. So it's like, if you're going to take this seriously, like make sure that you're allocating the time necessary every single day to being able to grow your studio and be able to continue. Like if you ever have those times when you feel like, man, I don't want to take action today. It's like thinking about like, why'd you do this in the first place? That's really, you know, Tim probably talks about it a whole lot, but it's like, that's why we became teachers. And that's what's really going to motivate us to take action every day. But oftentimes like the biggest problem that I see as hurting ourselves is just waiting for students to come to us. So we need to be active in being able to create that impact by, you know, taking consistent action. And, you know, what I'm here to help with is making sure that when you are taking that daily action, that you're using your time so efficiently and that you're actually doing it. But it could be with anyone. take that action. I hope that makes sense to everyone right there.
Yeah.
And the last one here, let's see, the last tip, I would have to say it is...
I'll put you on the spot. It could be two. Two is fine. Like, we don't need three.
I think those two are probably the most important one. But you know, also if you don't mind, I think the third one here, something that I've been talking a lot in my content and in my my posts, is really thinking about what do you really value in life. And a lot of us, like, it's not the money, and of course for me it's not the money too. But the money is what's really going to give us what we value. And it's that time, energy, and freedom that we want in our lives. So it's figuring out, like, for you, especially for me in my background, again, like, I didn't want to feel that burnout anymore. So now a lot of the teachers that I'm helping out are the teachers that don't want to go through that burnout, that want to maintain that balance between, like, teaching the students that they actually love and having the energy to be able to perform and gig as well. It's like having the balance between musicianship and teacher is an amazing thing. And for you, it's thinking, it's not really an action step, but it's like a belief that you should have, and always thinking about what's important for you in life. And for a lot of us, it's that time, that freedom, and always thinking about, like, what am I going to do in my studio to make sure that I don't just earn a lot of money for myself, but I'm giving myself the time and freedom that I need in my life.
Lovely way to wrap it up. Thank you very much, Ben. Well said. What's the name of your Facebook group so people can go and find you?
Yeah, you can either look up my name on Facebook, Benjamin Nguyen, Nguyen. But then also right now, the name of my Facebook group is called Six Figure Studio. So if you type that in, you'll probably see it pop up as well.
Great.
Or you can see my website. My Facebook group will probably be on there too. It's like socialmediamusicteacher.com.
Great. And when you join Ben's group, you can go through his questions and see when he asks for your email, and then see what he does see how he engages with his group, and then see if you can model that same thing for your own group.
100%.
And if you are on Facebook and you understand groups, and maybe you're in some other groups, then one action step that you could take would be to start a group and invite all the parents and your adult students to join it and just see how it goes. You could allocate 10 minutes a day to post something in it and see if it is something that you could enjoy and you could continue doing. I think, Ben, you've mentioned a number of times that you need to have a system about it. So a regular time, something to post. You would have seen a lot of bloggers or other people with Facebook groups will do, you know, Monday Madness and Tuesday Testimonials and Wednesday, whatever. Like, you could do something like that, even if it was 2 days a week, 3 days a week. Find a system that works for you. Try it out, see if you can build that community, and then maybe that community could become a bit of a marketing engine for you, because you could invite new prospects to come in and see what all the fun stuff is that you guys do in your community.
Totally.
I just thought of it as part of our conversation, Ben. So if anyone tries that, let us know how it goes. We'd love to know. Ben, it's been super to hang out with you today. Thanks very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure, Tim. Thank you so much.
Well, what did you think? Are you going to give Facebook groups a go in your studio? If you're a little bit hesitant about using Facebook as a marketing strategy, do you think Ben has convinced you to try it out? We'd love to hear what action you're thinking of taking, and you can share that over at the Top Music Teaching Group on Facebook. Just leave a post there. Let us know what you'd like to do. And if you've got more questions, then feel free to leave them there as well. That's the end of our show for this week. Thanks again for hanging out with us. I hope you enjoyed the interview. And as always, I'm always open to finding out about what you would like to hear on these shows, what topics you'd like me to cover, and any guests you'd like me to interview. So feel free to email us support@topmusic.co if you'd like to share that with us, or again, over on any of our social media channels. We would love to hear from you. Next week on the podcast, we have a super short solo episode. That's very alliterative. And not good for someone with a lisp. Super short solo episode on what is No Book Beginners. You might have heard about it, but maybe not too sure. Let me explain it super quickly next week. I'm Tim Topham, and you've been listening to The Topcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'll speak to you again next week. For more information about this episode and to find out how to enhance your own teaching, visit topmusic.co. You'll find everything you need for your studio, from lesson plans to cheat sheets, quick win teaching ideas, and guides on how to build your teaching business. Plus, you'll be connected to a global community of the world's top music teachers.
And when you're ready, join hundreds of other teachers around the world by becoming a Top Music Pro member and get access to all our bonus content and flagship courses. And don't forget to follow topmusic.co on social media and subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen to it. That's all for today. We'll see you in the studio.